Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the f*** you expect when a got a cape and he's great? Ovens full of cakes that he bakes. Steel spread and paste. The love just accentuates the hate. This is for my bodybuilding clients moving weight. Just add water, stir it like a shake. Play amongst the stars like the roof in the
middle. Child was injured at a Major League Baseball game this weekend because we don't have nets extended to the foul poles. When's Major League Baseball going to finally do something about this? We'll talk about that and LSU's new football facility. That's in the next segment. Jeff Cogg is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, Kyle Porter covers golf for CBS Sports. He got a whole bunch of Memphis attention this weekend, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Kyle Porter, it's your buddy Gary. Welcome to Memphis Radio. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm awesome. Let's do this. Let's talk about Memphis.
So let's start right at the top. In your own words, and I apologize for asking a two-part question, but that seems the best way to get the conversation started. A, what was the point, the actual point of your tweet? And B, were you surprised by the reaction to that tweet?
Well, let me start with this, because I think that when stuff like this happens, you can sort of dance around it and try to justify things or whatever, but I just want to apologize and say, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said what I said, and I should have been more thoughtful about just kind of what was going on there. So I just want to apologize. You, everybody that's listening, did not mean to, I shouldn't have said it. And I think to answer your actual question, the overall point that I was trying to make was not about Memphis at all. I mean, it was Memphis happens to be the place where the PGA Tour is going this week, but it was more about sort of the contrast between where golf goes at the professional level for major championships, Pebble Beach, Royal Portrush, Augusta National, Bethpage Black, versus where it goes for regular PGA Tour stops, which is just these sort of, you know, it turns into like all the courses are the same and they look similar. And that's not a Memphis problem. That's not a Akron problem. That's not a Cromwell, Connecticut problem. It's just the way the PGA Tour functions. And I was simply pointing out the contrast between major championship sites and then regular PGA Tour venues. But yeah, the second part, I was stunned. I did not envision that happening, and I understand why it did. Looking back on it, I completely understand, and can't say that I would have reacted any differently. But yeah, I was pretty shocked by how it all went down.
And so, first, on behalf of Memphis, if Memphis will allow me to speak on behalf of Memphis, we accept we accept your apology. That's a big thing in life. Like, if somebody, and by the way, I was not one of the people who thought it was a big deal. I just spent 20 minutes explaining why I didn't think it was a big deal. But when somebody offers up an apology right from the top, just forgive them and let's move on. Who cares about carrying around resentment? I'm not saying I'm the best at that in my own life, but I'm better at it in my own life than I've ever been, and I'm certainly happy to do it here. So if Memphis is going to allow me to speak on behalf of Memphis, apology accepted. I think it's interesting the way you explain that, because really the point you're making is that it doesn't matter where you were going from Royal Portrush to a normal PGA or even a WGC event, you would have had the same thought about any course the PGA Tour could be going to this week. It has nothing to do with Memphis or Southwind as much as, my God, this place is amazing, and the next place is great, but not this.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a complex thing with the PGA Tour, right? Because you have to find courses that have the infrastructure to be able to handle a lot of this stuff. And a lot of those courses are not they're not courses that are great, you know. And somebody said this, I forgot who it was, but they're like, you wouldn't say this if this was Firestone, if they're going to Akron, Ohio. And I'm like, have you seen Firestone? It's awful. Like, it's a terrible course. It's not interesting. It's not entertaining. It's not engaging. And I would say that about pretty much anywhere that the PGA, you know, there's a couple courses that I think, you know, the Players Championship is at an interesting place. Yeah, I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but, you know, there's other places that are mildly intriguing, but when you contrast it to the nuance of a Pebble, of a Portrush, and look, this was like an all-time great major championship season in terms of courses played at. Pebble and Portrush are like top, like world-class courses, and just comparing that to everything else that goes on the PGA Tour, it's very different.
Talking to Kyle Porter from CBS Sports, he's on Twitter at Kyle Porter. CBS. I think to the extent that I can't speak for everybody that was bothered or angered, but like I think the sensible person that was bothered or angered, you can't do anything with the other group, but the sensible person who was bothered by it would, I think that what they would say, and you've acknowledged this, hey, we know we're not the Open Championship. We also know we're not Royal Portrush on the coast of Northern Ireland. We know we can't match that view for view. We didn't need somebody to point that out. And with the benefit of hindsight, you understand that is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, I totally understand that for sure.
I'm talking to Kyle Porter from CBS Sports. All right, let's talk actual golf. What did you? It wasn't that interesting of a Sunday in the Open Championship, because Shane Lowry like had a big lead and he just grew the lead and he was unchallenged, best I can tell. What did you make of what happened in Northern Ireland?
Well, you know, for me, and people got upset about this as well. Shocking, I know. It turned into the most, I thought, poignant moment of the golf season, and that, I realize that sounds absurd because Tiger Woods won the Masters, but for somebody like Shane Lowry, like he's probably not going to win another major championship. Like that, like yesterday for him professionally is probably as good as it gets. And there's something about that kind of week for a guy like that, who's a good player, but not a great player. He's not an elite player. He can still get there. He's still fairly young, 32, but the likelihood, like the leap from when you're 32 to 35, 38 of like taking it up and winning multiple majors, it doesn't happen a ton. And so that's probably the week of his life, and to see the joy that he had coming up 18, hugging his dad, his wife and kid being there, you know, to do it on the island where he grew up. I mean, are you kidding me? Like that is a fairy tale thing that we got, and I think it got a little lost because it was a blowout, because of the Brooks Koepka, JB Holmes stuff. But and I don't know, there was a quote that he had afterwards where he said, I woke up on Sunday morning and I didn't know if I had inside of me what it takes to win a major championship. And you're like, oh my gosh, like I can relate to that. I woke up on Sunday morning and didn't know if I had what it takes to be a dad or to be a, you know, to be good at Excel or to be good at writing or to, you know,
or to survive Memphis Twitter.
For Survive Memphis Twitter, yeah. And it was just, to me, it was so much more relatable than a lot of what we see in professional sports. And I don't know, it was a pretty cool moment, I thought, for major championship golf.
I loved it. On Saturday after his round, he acknowledged, like, of course I'm going to go home and I'm going to think about this all night tonight. And I'm going to be a nervous wreck. And so often golfers, athletes, they are so hesitant to show any vulnerability or anything that suggests they are rattled or are nervous or are anxious. And for him to acknowledge he was experiencing all of that stuff and actually unsure of himself, I'm with you. Very relatable. And it had me waking up Sunday actually rooting for him to close this out. A, it's just a wonderful story independent of that. But when you got a guy who understands he's never done this, understands he might never do it again, understand he's in an amazing position to do it, but it's still like, I don't know if I'm as good as these other guys. Like, what happens if Brooks comes charging at me? For him to acknowledge all that's in his head, I became a fan of him at least yesterday.
Yeah, totally. And even, like, if you go back to 16 at Oakmont, he's got a four-stroke lead going into the final round there. And DJ beats him by three. And you're like, wow, that didn't go well. And so he's got that kind of playing in the back of his head. And that's, again, like, I am a sucker for stories that I can relate to. Now, look, he's a millionaire. He's famous. He's really good at golf. I can't relate to any of those things. But, like, the whole, like, failing and succeeding and trying again, I mean, he talked about how, like, at the Open last year, he cried in his car after the first round. He missed four straight cuts at the Open coming into this week, and he just, like, didn't love golf, and he didn't know what he was doing and where he was going. And it's like, man, I can relate to that. Like, I can understand, like, where you're coming from, and to be able to do that within sports, I think it's a very unique thing and something that really gets people's emotions going.
Talking to Kyle Porter from CBS Sports. He's on Twitter, at Kyle Porter CBS. Jordan Spieth was in contention for at least part of the Open Championship, and it sort of created the storyline of, is he going to break through again? This is a guy who a few years ago people were talking about as, you know, the next all-time great, the next to challenge Jack Nicklaus's record. And when I looked it up, I don't know, last Thursday or Friday, he had slipped to like 38th in the world in terms of world golf ranking. For people who follow this sport on a surface level, can you explain what's happened to Jordan Spieth?
Well, the thing that's happened to Jordan Spieth, I think the talking point is, like, it's all about his putting, right? People are like, oh, well, he used to be great at putting, and now he's not great at putting. But the reality is that when he was great, like, his best season ever was actually not in 2015 when he won two majors. It was in 2017. He was the best iron player on the planet. Like, no, like, he was number one on the PGA Tour in strokes gained on approach shots. And what that means is with an iron in his hands, nobody was hitting it closer than Jordan Spieth. And he's completely lost that. He's like 150th now on the PGA Tour. And when you combine his driving's always been average to above average, and it's a little bit below average, and his iron play is just lousy, and no amount of great putting can make up for that. And so what you're seeing is somebody who's, like, sort of holding it together with his short game, because he's got a really good short game, but you're just not able to sustain success over a long period of time if you're not hitting it to 12 to 15 feet and consistently giving yourself birdie putts.
In the meantime, Tiger Woods missed the cut at the Open Championship, subsequently announced he was going to skip Memphis. There was a lot of hope here. And I think real, like, not just hope, but, like, real belief that he was going to play in Memphis for the first time. Obviously, he didn't feel well. And I don't mean, like, he had a cold. I mean, his body wasn't functioning the way he needs it to function to play golf at the level at which he expects himself to play. And while discussing this, he essentially just said, listen, I'm 43 years old. This is who I am now. This is my life. Some days I'll feel good. More likely I won't. I just need to take some time away and get ready for the playoff. Just in general terms, how concerning was it to, A, see Tiger like that, and B, hear him talk the way he talked?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit disconcerting, just because you don't really know what to do with an inconsistent Tiger, and that's what we're seeing, right? Like the thing that marked his career, right, was consistency. Like, you knew what you were getting every single week, and now, like, going to these events, like, all, like, everybody in the like, all of us writers and media people there are looking around like, I don't know, like, what are we getting? Like, what's going to happen? And I think there was some fallout from the Masters of, like, okay, I climbed the mountaintop. And you know this just from, like, covering any sport. Like, you climb the mountaintop, and staying there is so much harder than climbing it. And I think mentally it's just, like, there can be such a letdown. When you combine that with his body, it's just, it makes for a difficult, like, it's difficult for him at this point to stay consistent at the highest level. And, you know, the lousy part is, going back to the Memphis thing, like, it stinks that because of this new schedule, everything's so condensed that normally Tiger would play in a WGC event, right? Like he plays all the WGCs, he plays all the majors, and he plays the Players' Championship and maybe a couple others. But because everything's, like, jammed in right now, kind of the collateral damage for that is that, you know, a city that's looking forward to the best players in the world, they don't get Tiger Woods. So that's kind of been an unfortunate fallout, is that a lot of these tournaments that normally would get some of the stars and superstars aren't getting them because these guys are so focused on major championships and resting and recovering from them.
I'm wrapping up here with Kyle Porter from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go, if you go to any legalized sports book right now, what you'll find is Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson are co-favorites at plus 700 to win the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Does that sound right to you? Should those guys be the favorite?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd throw Rory in there. I don't know. He's probably right behind them.
Just right behind them, plus 900.
I mean, Rory's going to be rested, right? He's going to be ready to roll after missing cut. And I think DJ, too. I was disappointed in DJ at Pebble and at Port Rush because, you know, Pebble's a place where he's had a ton of success, and then he goes out and he's like P35 at the U.S. Open. And then, going into Sunday at Port Rush, he's in a good spot. He's not going to encounter any of the weather. And he goes out and shoots like 75 on Sunday. And you're like, well, come on, man. Like, what are you doing here? But I think to that point, like, he was never really in contention at Port Rush. So mentally, he'll be ready to rock and roll for Memphis. And obviously, he won there last year. And, I would even take him ahead of Koepka, given Koepka's recent history at non-major championships.
That is Kyle Porter from CBS Sports. If you are not reading him, you should. You can do that at CBSSports.com. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Follow him on Twitter, at Kyle Porter, CBS. Listen, man, it was awesome of you to come on. I know that you dealt with a lot of online stuff, but the people accept your apology, I think. It was nice of you to start the conversation like that. And otherwise, I hope you're well, man. Thank you for being here.
Hey, I appreciate it. I want people to know I did this whole interview in a Tony Allen jersey.
See there? He's reaching out. He's doing his best. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Thanks, GP. We'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll see you. That's Kyle Porter from CBS Sports. He started the conversation with an apology. That's a good place to start.
I think that was the right way to go.
If you're trying to win over a city or at least make them calm down, maybe starting with an apology is a good place to start. In all sincerity, I appreciate Kyle being here. And as I noted at the top of the show and at the beginning of this segment, I got four notable stories, 444, lined up and ready to go. I could talk about any of those things, but I'm still getting some comments on Twitter, and I'm not going to argue with people on Twitter, but I'm happy to listen to you. Sometimes I would get accused when I wouldn't take phone calls, like the reason some people assumed is because I didn't want folks pushing back. That was never actually the reason. But just to prove, like, if you want to push back here and explain to me why I should have been mad the way you were mad at Kyle Porter's tweet over the weekend, I will listen to you. We'll do that. 535-3776, 535-ESPN. You want to talk about it? We'll talk about it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.